You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy, and as the years go by, a friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Hello, I'm Ryan Fernand, and welcome to the Lord of the Films podcast. Today we are going to be doing my top 10 films of 2010 list, and unfortunately, this is after the live version, which we had some technical difficulties with the recording, which resulted in the first half of the podcast being erased. So if you want to listen to the full podcast, you can either wait until later in this week when I try to get the first half up, or you can go to Ustream.tv, look up Lord of the Films podcast, and you can find the entire version of this episode up there. So we're just going to go right into my number 5 film of the year. Here it is. On to number 5 on my list, which is Toy Story 3. Lucky for us, we got this decade's Return of the King 6 months after it began. This was a great conclusion to one of the best trilogies of all time. I even read an article making silly names for all the Best Picture nominees, and the title for this film was You Will Cry. And it is so true, this film is just so good and so well directed by Lee Unkrich. And I for a long time said that animated film directors should not be taken seriously, as they don't have to put in as much work as other directors, or as so I seemed, or so it appears. But Unkrich here did the huge job of changing my mind with that opinion, with his great work. Michael Arndt also writes a wonderful screenplay to this film. Toy Story 3 is nominated for 5 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Animated Feature, Best Original Song, and Best Sound Editing. On to my number 4, which is Kick-Ass. If it wasn't for Inception, this would have been the most awesome film of the year, and because of this film, a certain superhero film coming out this year, I won't mention the name because it will be on my most anticipated films list for 2011, which I will be discussing on my podcast here soon. So anyways, a certain superhero film coming out this year is a must-see film for me because of this. They do share Matthew Vaughn in common, I'll give you that hint, who really brought a lot of energy to this film from the director's chair. Not to be forgotten are some great performances, like Nicolas Cage, who I really hate as an actor. He never seems to work for me, but here he somehow does, as he portrays a badass vigilante who kind of plays homage to the Adam West Batman. But even more astonishing in her breakthrough role is Chloe Moretz as Hit Girl. Great performance. You definitely have to check it out. It may be offensive, but you can hang with it, trust me. Kick-Ass, unfortunately, was not nominated for any Oscars, so we will now move on to my number 3 of the year. That film is The Ghost Rider. The Ghost Rider follows a writer who doesn't have his name put on the books he writes, thus the title. It follows him as he uncovers a conspiracy surrounding the former Prime Minister of Great Britain. I have to say, as much as I hate the man, Roman Polanski, as an artist, is a genius. He offers one of the best screenplays of the year with this twisty thriller, and his direction perfectly conveys the constricting atmosphere that he set out to achieve. The cast here is phenomenal, with Ewan McGregor returning to fine form, Pierce Brosnan in the most underrated performance of the year as a Tony Blair-like prime minister, and a knockout performance from Olivia Williams. This film also had one of the best endings in film history, and a very memorable villain. Once again, we have with this film another victim of Oscar snubbing. No nominations for The Ghost Rider, sadly. So finally, on to my top two. These two films I consider the two masterpieces of 2010. I thought there were two masterpieces this year, or last year, since we're now in 2011. So the first masterpiece at number two on my list is Black Swan. Black Swan follows ballerina Nina Sayers, played by Natalie Portman, as she trains to win the lead role in Swan Lake. Describing anything more about the plot would delve into spoiler territory, in my opinion, and trust me, the less you know about this one, the better. But what I can say is that the film is one of the grittiest, sexiest, and jump-out-of-your-seat-iest movies ever. Upon seeing Silence of the Lambs for the first time a few years ago, I realized that it would be a long time before a better psychological horror film was made. Surprisingly, that day has come 19 years later after it was released, with Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan. And I would actually recommend watching The Wrestler, Darren Aronofsky's other work, before seeing Black Swan, as I personally think I got a totally different experience from this film having watched The Wrestler than someone who has not. With Black Swan, Aronofsky proves, as many of his fans probably already know, he is one of the best directors in the business. Black Swan is a true directorial masterpiece. The script is good, but it's Aronofsky's vision that makes this film a true masterpiece. You cannot imagine anyone else making this film. Aronofsky's style oozes from every shot of this movie, but as great as Aronofsky is, the true MVP of this film is Natalie Portman. Portman gives a performance that will be listed on many all-time great performances lists for years to come. As mentioned above, knowledge of The Wrestler allows you to figure out whether the film is going to end. Aronofsky places a huge bet on the viewer becoming completely attached to Nina Sayers and her fate. Luckily, Aronofsky makes the right one, as Portman completely sells the character and makes the audience fall in love with her. So when the film reveals where it is heading, it is just that much harder to take Nina's eventual fate. It is like watching a train wreck in progress in the best possible way. You are really hoping that it will all be alright when in the back of your mind you know it is not. To make her performance even more astonishing, you can tell that Portman lost weight to fit the character and even performs a lot of her own ballet moves that her character makes during the film. Her acting in the last 20 minutes will leave you stunned. It will be on acting highlight reels for years. Even though this is Portman's movie, the rest of the cast is very good too. Vincent Cassell is great as the almost villainous ballet teacher. Barbara Hershey is very creepy as the overprotective mother. And Winona Ryder is very convincing in her role as a disgraced ballerina. Mila Kunis is good, albeit a little overrated by most critics, as a fellow ballerina. Black Swan may be described as The Wrestler on acid, but it is truly better than that great film in every aspect. Black Swan is a real masterpiece. The film is nominated for 5 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Director for Darren Aronofsky, Best Lead Actress for Natalie Portman, Best Film Editing, and Best Cinematography. So now on to my number one film of 2010, in my opinion. And it is, of course, Inception. Inception is one of those films that comes along only once or twice a decade. It is a complete masterpiece. This film is a complete tour de force from its director, Christopher Nolan. Leonardo DiCaprio may be the lead actor, but even the posters of the film, before it was released, knew that the real star of the film was Christopher Nolan. This is one of the greatest directorial achievements of the millennium. Nolan's vision oozes from the screen during every second of the film, and all of his other films look like build-up to this one. Inception has the mastery of out-of-chronological order storytelling and the great use of an unreliable narrator that Nolan used in Memento. It has the great acting found on display in Insomnia. It has great action sequences that can be found in the Batman films. And it has some memorable endings that stick in your head like those found in Following and in The Prestige. Inception also features memorable scenes galore, such as the now-famous anti-gravity fight scenes, and of course that ending, which in my opinion is the greatest ending in film history. It really pisses me off how film critics will go on and on about these great endings in The Social Network and Black Swan and all these other films, which, no doubt about it, are good, but most of these critics always fail to bring up Inception as being a great ending. Now tell me, did any other ending get moviegoers as involved as Inception? Was there anything in any film this year that got more moviegoers discussing the film than that scene? Therein lies the true genius that is Christopher Nolan. The still best director Oscarless Christopher Nolan. And that about wraps it up for my top 10. Thank you all for listening. I am Ryan Fernand. You can find my work and the official home of this podcast at lord-of-the-films.blogspot.com. You can also find me at Ryan Fernand on Twitter. Next week, we will be doing the podcast on Friday, and we will be discussing my top 10 most anticipated films of 2011. So that will be Friday at 11 p.m. Till then, I am Ryan Fernand, and I am out.